We're to be thoughtful and purposeful with how we answer. To answer, what's it mean? Of course, the dictionary tells us means to speak in return to a call or question or to speech, a declaration or argument of another person. To answer someone. We used to say when we were going to answer someone, I'll let my action speak for me. An answer is more than just anyone with kids knows, especially teenagers. I have two teenagers and two toddlers. Anyone with kids know your communication, your answer goes way beyond this thing, the words. I don't know how many times I told my older two, Matteo or Andre, hey, Dre, take out the garbage. And he's in the middle of something. He got a stupid game controller or something in his hand. Andre, I told you, take out the garbage, man. Come on, it's Monday. They're going to be here early in the morning. And then I tell them the third time, hey, man, I promise you, I'm not telling you again. I don't care. You're 15. I will haul you upstairs, and I will tan your hide. Get that garbage can outside. Now, his communication is the right words. Yes, sir. But he does not say it like that. Occasionally, my wonderful children, they'll communicate something a little bit different. The words will be, yes, sir, but it'll be, yes, sir. Or, yes, sir. They're communicating something different with their actions and their words. God gives us lots of help with how we answer each other, and whether I'm talking about a husband and wife or friends or just a fellow church members, we all need to learn to answer each other a little bit better and let our actions speak for us. How to properly answer. Let me give you these this morning. Proverbs chapter 15. Look at it with me. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. God tells us in verse number 1, very simply, he says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. We ought to have a soft answer. To be soft, it means to be not rough or mild or civil. A soft answer doesn't necessarily mean a quiet answer. You're not going to catch very much quietness out of me that often. Now, I'm a very shy guy, but when I speak, I'm just loud. I just have a loud voice. It's just how God made me. But I'm not to be crass and crude and rude. God said we're to have a soft answer, even as a husband. My answer, even if it's a firm answer, I'm to have a soft answer. A soft answer is not sissy. A soft answer is not necessarily effeminate. A soft answer can be very firm and very loud, but a soft answer is a humble answer. See, it ought to be that we're at a place in our life that when we answer people, we understand that we're not the ultimate authority. That when I have to say something, whether it's to my wife or my kids or to a friend or a colleague, I am not the authority. And my answer ought to be soft and civil and mild. God wants us to have a soft answer. Men, we are notorious for not having soft answers. And our excuse is always, and ladies, the same way, well, you should have heard how he asked the question. I'm going to tell you this morning, it does not matter how the question's asked. You and I control a situation by how we answer someone. I don't care if I'm talking to a husband, a wife, a child, with a parent. How you communicate back will dictate how that conversation goes. I don't care how rude or crude that person's being. I don't care if your husband or wife are being a little bit gruff. How you answer them can turn the tide of that whole situation. And God tells us we're to have a soft answer. God's people aren't to be crude. It ought not be that I'm, what? All the time, every time my wife calls for me. I know people like that. They're just rough. My dad has a very loud voice like that. What? And he yells. That's rough and sometimes very abrasive, extremely abrasive when it doesn't need to be. And there's times when there's time to yell too. But we're to have a soft answer. Look at verse number 23. You should be there in Proverbs 15. Look at verse number 23. Secondly, this morning, let me say, God tells us here in the scripture, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? We need to be seasonable in the way that we answer each other. That means finding the opportune time, done at a good time, in due season. There are times when a question may not be a dumb question, but it's just a bad time to ask it. You know, I travel around the different churches, and you know, sometimes I got men or women on my heart and minds, young men that are burdened, that are looking for a spouse, or a young lady who's burdened that's looking for a spouse. And it would be a very bad time if I walked into a church and a preacher said, "Oh yeah, pray for dear sister so-and-so. She just lost her husband of 50 years. And I walk over and say, "Hey ma'am, could I have your phone number? I got a 22-year-old kid that's looking to get married and start in the ministry." That is not a very seasonable time. That is not a seasonable time to be trying to make a love connection between an older lady and a preacher boy. Not very smart. Or someone's up there, you know, everyone's walking up, and you know, there's the dear lady, and her husband's in the casket, and you know, you come through the line, and, "Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. Hey, could I borrow 15 bucks real quick? I want to go to lunch." Not a very seasonable time. God wants us to make sure that the way that we answer each other is not just a soft answer, but that it's a seasonable answer. A seasonable answer. Make sure that we're answering in due time, and it's at a right time that we're asking that question. I know your preacher's here, and you all don't know me that well. This isn't something I'd probably typically say when the preacher's here, when I'd say something like this, but I try to help churches understand that right before a service, sometimes the preacher has a lot in his heart and mind. That is not the time, 5-10 minutes for the service, to dump all your issues and problems on your pastor. That is not a very seasonable time to do that. His heart and mind is on the service. His heart and mind often, even though he doesn't want it to be, it's on someone who's not there that should be, that he's been praying for. His heart and mind's on all kinds of different things, and that's not a very seasonable time to do that. I hope you understand that. And with that, we need to understand that we need to be available. One of my faults, I think, and probably you've had times where you were like this, I'm not available to my family as much as I should be. And men, we got to get better at it. We just do. I can't tell you how many times one of my children have walked in a room and been excited, wanted to tell daddy about something that they learned or something that they were doing. Daddy didn't have time because daddy was busy. And Brother Phil lives there, and I know what that's like. And men, we need to be available to our family. Yes, there is a season to ask a question. And husbands, there are times when we ought to not ask certain questions to our wife. There's times we ought to just leave her be and let her do what she's doing and let her take care of things. But we need to be available. Do you realize God's always available to us? He tells us, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God's always available, isn't he? He's always available to us. Yet, especially us men, and I can only speak for me, but I see it a lot, us men, a lot of times, we are just not available as much as we should be. And that's our fault, and we need to get it right. We're to be seasonable in our answers. And there's a season where we ought to be able to answer some things, especially for our family, where we're available for others. And by the way, with that, let me just say, you know, salvation's always in season. It just is. The Bible tells 1 Peter 3, let me read it to you, verse 15 to 16. He says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always." Isn't that what God tells us? "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Hey, we're to have a soft answer and we're to have a seasonable answer. And let me say, the gospel's always in season. That's the default. If you don't know what else to say, give them the gospel. Amen. Number 3, Proverbs 15, look at verse number 28. Look at verse number 28 with me. The Bible says this, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. We ought to be studious. Our answers ought to be studious. Can only be done after studying, right? We ought to be careful with what we answer. Now, there'll be a few of these that kind of run us parallel to each other, but we need to be careful. Make sure we're diligent. We pay close attention to whatever that subject may be, that we're careful when we answer. We are the Google generation. I can say, hey, dummy, and this thing tells me just about, I didn't grow up that way. I grew up in the Nintendo days, and on the playground, we got a cheat code, and it had to be on a piece of paper, and you had to hold on to that bad boy, and you had to tuck it away, and that thing had to make it home to go in a notebook or slide into one of them hard cases so you didn't lose it. And sometimes one of them dirty fools give you the wrong code, and you'd get home, man, you'd save that thing all day, hustling, trying to keep it, and get home and punch that thing in there, and that was not the Contra code, and that was not what you needed for them extra lives. You don't live in that generation anymore. It's hey dummy. Yeah, I don't even know conversions anymore because this thing does all of it. I couldn't even tell you a phone number because this thing knows all of them. Hey, how many cups are in this? And it just tells us. We're in that generation, in that era of time, but that doesn't mean that you have all the answers, because I don't. But we think we are so quick to answer people. Be studious. Be studious. It means we need to be diligent and pay close attention to a book. That's what the definition of it is. Of course, ours is the Bible, but we ought to answer studiously. Look at Proverbs 18 with me. Proverbs 18. God wants us to have a soft answer. God wants us to have a seasonable answer. God wants us to have a studious answer. In Proverbs 18, look at verse number 13 with me. God says this, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him. We need to answer slowly, not hastily. We are masters at assuming. I can't tell you how many times someone goes to talk about something and I jump in and start to answer and they say, that's not what I was talking about, it's something else. I do it all the time. I have done that. I have talked about that particular verse before, and at lunchtime, did the stupid thing, did it to a lady. And she laughed because I was just talking about it. I did it to her at lunch. She started talking about something, and I knew the preacher, and I jumped in and said something. She went, that's not what I was going to say. That's not what I was going to ask you. And I went, oh, she got me on it. She got me. Answer slowly. Listen to what someone's saying. We do not listen as well as we should. Answer slowly. Pay attention. We are so quick to assume what someone is going to say. We draw a conclusion, and then we answer the question, and it was not any help at all because we answered something completely off topic or that they did not ask. Oftentimes, we can formulate the answer if we really just listen to the question that's being asked. Oftentimes when someone really wants a question answered, they will make comments, and the way they ask the question will help you to answer it properly. And we need to make sure that we answer slowly. Answer slowly. Don't be so hasty to just jump in and answer. Act deliberately. And let me say, parents, by the way, no is an acceptable answer. My kids have grown up with no baloney. My kids were pretty young. The two older ones were young when I got saved. Mateo was 2 and Andre was just born. So they kind of grew up with a no-nonsense dad who got saved and God flipped his life around. And really, my default answer, my kids know, the default answer is no. If you ask me something and try to put pressure on me, it is no. Because I want to know the details. God told us to walk circumspectly around something. I want to know who's going to be there. What's this thing going to cost me? What time are you getting back? Do I got to pick you up? Is this going to inconvenience your mom? You know, what things are going on there? There are some parameters that need to be met before I conclude the situation, before I answer this question. I need to have some facts at hand. Until I have that, the answer is just default no. And no is an acceptable answer. And young people, get used to mom and dad just knows a good default answer, because it is. Until they know the details, no is a good answer. That is an acceptable answer, but we need to answer slowly. They put pressure on you, adults, tell them no. Just that's my two cents of family advice and help. I hope that's a help to you, but answer slowly. Number five, not only do we need to answer slowly, look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. Going along with some of these, Proverbs chapter 22. Look at verse number 21. He says that I might make thee known the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sent unto thee. We ought to answer scripturally. Not only should our answer be studiously, no matter what it is, but when we answer someone, it ought to be according to the scripture, according to the word of God, and in context to the word of God. We need to be cautious and careful and make sure we're answering people scripturally. God wants us to make sure we have a scriptural answer. And like I said, make sure that you answer slowly. It helps us. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. God wants us to answer softly, and God wants us to answer seasonably. God wants us to answer studiously and slowly. God wants us to answer scripturally. And in Proverbs 24, verse number 26, God says this, every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. We need to get back in the habit of answering soundly. That means that we answer completely and wholly. Parents, we are notorious for lying to our children, and we're setting them up for disaster. We like to negotiate with the terrorists. We're not to negotiate with terrorists. We're Americans. We're not to negotiate with them, right? But we do, don't we? If you sit at church the whole time, you can have that fun dip, right? And then I don't even have a fun dip. I'm just making this up. And I know that's silly and simple and like the bottom layer where we all live, but we are in such a habit of not giving a sound answer. And that's just a silly example. We're that way in everything. That's why it's so important that we're studious about what we talk about when we answer someone. That's why it's important that we're scriptural when we answer someone. But we can't just take a little section of scripture like the world does. We need to be sound in our answer. And if I'm going to answer someone about the gospel, if someone approaches me, preacher, and they say, I want to know how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven, it would be pretty sad if I just went, just believe Jesus and walked away. That's not a very sound answer. That's not very complete. That does not help them the way they need help. I need to take a few moments and answer the question completely and be sound in my answer. We need to be sound. When we answer something, we make sure we can answer it completely. And along with that, saying I don't know is an acceptable answer. We used to be better at that as men and women, being honest when we didn't know something. Like I said, we're the Google people now. We have to know everything. You know, knowledge puffs us up. We think we always have to have the answers. Oh, you got an itch behind your left ear. Well, I know what that is. You have, you know, mitochondrial whatever. You know, my cousin's sister's baby's uncle is a nurse in Afghanistan, and that I know for sure that's what you have. And we get people all paranoid, you know. Answer soundly. Answer soundly means complete and whole, not a half truth. Sound answers. Make sure you answer soundly. We ought to answer softly. We ought to answer seasonably. We ought to answer studiously. We ought to answer slowly. We should be good at answering scripturally. we should answer soundly. And look at Proverbs 26 with me. And I'll give you these last two, this last one that's kind of a two-parter. Proverbs 26. Look at verse number 4 with me. God says in Proverbs 26, verse number 4, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." There are some questions, just don't answer. Do you understand? There are people that are going to ask you questions, especially when you're a new believer in your first couple years. And I trusted Christ 15 years ago, and I still get people that do it, and I'm sure the folks here that have been saved longer than me, there will be people that ask you questions that they do not want an answer. They're just trying to agitate you. Young people, you're going to have people do it in your life. They're going to find out you believe the Bible, and they're going to ask you a question just to poke you and prod you and get you upset and get you to fight them and get you angry. And God said, there are some fools we don't answer. I'm not going to entertain their stupid questions. I'm not going to do it. They ask something silly or inappropriate, I'm not going to answer it. I'm going to leave it be and stay away from it. And God said, there's some questions just don't bother with. Just leave them alone. And then he goes on in verse 5 and he tells us, he says in verse 4, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him." Verse 5, he says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit." And then there's some fools that need rebuked. There are some fools that need rebuked and reproved and said, "Hey, dummy, this is what God says." There are people that need that. The hard thing is figuring out, how do I know which one to do? Start practicing all those other ones. Get better at answering softly. I'm working real hard at it. Get better. Get better at answering all those other ways. And you know what happens? When we become doers of the words and not just hearers, we start to gain some understanding. We start to realize how important our answers are. Men, we start to realize how important the way we answer and communicate, how important, how it guides and leads the house. Ladies, moms, wives, please. How you answer. Listen, he's an idiot sometimes. He is, and I'm speaking for me. He's an idiot sometimes. And all the older ladies can amen that. He's an idiot sometimes, and he does things he shouldn't. And he says something stupid, and he's gruff, and he's rough. And sometimes he's battling a battle that you don't know, just like, sir, she's battling a battle you don't understand. And sometimes he may ask a question and it just irks you and you've worked hard all day. But you control that situation with your answer. Husband, you control that situation with your answer no matter how rough her day is. And she may have been on the phone with 100 different hens talking about what's going on in the hen house. And it has her all stirred up. Crazy Aunt Sue called and got her all fired up about something, and you know, the neighbor got her stirred up. And sir, how you communicate and answer your wife can change the course of that situation in your marriage. We need to get better at the way we answer each other. Listen to me, you're known for your answer. My dad was not in my life as a young person. But I know my dad's voice. I'd have neighborhood kids come and stay when we were little. And we had a stereo system. And my dad'd get to bed and he'd wake up really early. My dad's daytime was like 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. And then he would go to work and he would come home, eat, go to bed, and none of us ever saw him. That was his schedule. He lived his life in the early morning of the morning, and that was it. That was my dad's life. And I'd have buddies come over and stay, and my mom had no control. She didn't use that word that my kids hate, no. My mom didn't use that. I was allowed to do whatever I wanted to. I could run the streets and Well, we crank that stereo system on real loud. We live in the Pittsburgh area. We put on B94 or whatever it was, and we crank it real loud in the middle of the night, and it'd bang, real loud music, and you'd hear, we'd turn it off, and we'd all lay down and act like we're sleeping. And from the upstairs, I can hear it right now. I won't yell as loud as he yelled. I can hear his voice at this moment. Philip! And he'd scream, and I'm not going to stretch it out how he stretched it out. I can give the cadence of my dad yelling at me. I know how he answers. And sir, ma'am, young person, you are known for your answers. You are known for how you communicate with others. And young people, sometimes what comes out of here is exactly what you were taught, but what you communicate with the rest of this thing, young people, are you listening? What you communicate with the rest of this thing tells a different story. So when mom and dad, you give the right answer out of this thing, they are not fooled by your wrong communication. Mom and dad aren't telepathic. It's because you have a big billboard, and adults were the same way. We just forget that as we get older. You know why? Because we think we're a little bit slicker, don't we? We think we're a little bit smoother. We have a big billboard. Your friends see it. Your spouse sees it. Your church members see it. Your church family, because that's what they are, your family, they see it. They see exactly what you communicate. I wish I could stand here and say, man, I'm so good at it, I could teach classes on it. I'm just a master at communication. I'm not. I wish I could answer my family better. I wish I was more seasonable for my family and more available. But you're known for your answers, and so am I. That doesn't mean it's too late. We can start from today and change things and make a difference. Listen to me, I hope you'll be here all week. I hope you'll be here for the services. I hope you'll bring folks and pray. But let's get God working in our lives. I want to get better at communicating. You know how you get people to show up for church? You communicate it with more than just this. Say, boy, I care about you. I want you to come. I'm willing to pick you up. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to try to get you there, to come and hear the gospel and come have God work on your life. And get busy. We need to get better. God's people need to get better at communicating. We've gotten tricked into thinking this thing just gets us by, that we have all the right answers, but this communicates all the wrong things. God help us to answer each other properly. Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, I'm very thankful for forgiveness. I'm glad, Lord, that as long as we have breath, we can still seek forgiveness. Lord, I know that there are folks here like me that struggle with communications at times, and sometimes it's a legitimate argument or whatever the situation may be, Lord, but help us. Help us as your people. Help us as folks that say we believe the Word of God, that we're trying to be a follower of the Bible. Lord, help us to get better at our answers, whether it's the lost world, whether it's our church family, the people in our home, the people at our work. Lord, I want to be better at answering. I want to be known for communicating proper things and provoking others to love and good works instead of provoking others to the wrong thing. Lord, help us this week and bless us, please. In Jesus' name, amen.